So the dinim of Ner Chanukah, the dinim of Ner Chanukah don't appear in the Mishnayos. That's why, as with other topics that don't really have a home in the Mishnayos, so the Chachmei Abavli looked for a location, looked for an address for these dinim. So as we've been seeing over the last week and a half, so the Chachmei Abavli set the primary address of the dinim of Ner Chanukah at the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos, because of the Mishnayos that do discuss the dinim of Ner Shabbos. Interesting, as an aside, there is some discussion about why the Mishnayos don't have any address for Ner Chanukah. It's clear that the Mishnayos do discuss Chanukah. I think it's either Rav Zevin or Reuven Margolius who points out that Chanukah appears 5-6 times over the course of Shas Mishnayos. There are references all over. There are references in Megillah and the Kindness of Kriyas HaTorah. There are references the end of Moed Katan in terms of limitations on Avelus and Hespedim on Chanukah. It appears of all places in Bikurim in terms of the seasons for Havas. Bikurim Chanukah is mentioned. As you saw in the Gemara's here, reference the Mishnah in Seder Nezikin, where? Bava Kama, exactly. And Mishnah Bava Kama talks about the awareness that every Jew has that they're going to be, that over the course of Chanukah, they're going to be Neiris below Ten Tfachim, next to Apitzchei Abatim, so that it should inform your behavior in Rishos HaRabim, and that may, as you saw, Mishnah is talking about, the Gamol Tam Pishtam, who's liable for a fire that's set. If someone was coming through with a big load down the street and it caught fire on Ner Chanukah. So the Mishnayos discuss Ner Chanukah, reference Chanukah in a number of places, 5-6 times. It could be, Rav Zevin discusses, Reuven Margolius discusses this. So it could be, so the more common suggestion is that it was such a well-known mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvahs that everyone knew so well, Mishnayos are a summary just of the core ideas to help you remember the rest. So maybe when you have a dinim that are so widely practiced, you don't need to have much of the Mishnayos. That's what they say about tefillin, about mezuzah, about Ner Chanukah. It's a little bit difficult. Ner Chanukah was more widely practiced than Sukkah, than the Leil HaSeder. I mean, as is the case now, Chanukah is one of the most popularly practiced mitzvahs, but still, it's hard to know. I think it's Reuven Margolius who makes a fascinating suggestion. He has raya's from various obscure midrashim, as is his wont, that the Mishnah, part of the composition of the writing of Mishnayos, it was meant to preserve the Torah Shebaal Peh, the core of Torah Shebaal Peh in writing. It was also meant to be used as an exhibit, a presentation of halacha to the Roman authorities. And he suggests that that's the case, so they had to downplay mitzvahs that would appear to the Romans to have a nationalistic streak. So he suggests that tefillin and mezuzah, because they're meant to identify as uniquely as Jews and tzitzis, so that was something that the Romans were more allergic to. So when the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi composed Mishnayos, he did not give, for that reason, a lot of focus to tefillin, to tzitzis, and maybe to mezuzah, because they're meant to identify as uniquely as Jews, and the Romans might have been very averse to that. And Chanukah is a nationalistic yontif in the sense that the history is still fresh. This was the last successful, it was the successful revolt of the Jews against the imperial power, the previous empire, the Greek Empire. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wasn't sure that the Romans would really take kindly to the yontif of Chanukah, so that's why it's mentioned, but it's never focused upon. Whatever it is, whether either of those are the explanation or some other explanation, Lamasa, as we've been seeing over the last week or two, Chanukah, you don't have Mishnayos about the Hilchos Ner Chanukah, but we do have, Baruch Hashem, plenty of sugyos in the Bavli. Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, Chaf Gimel, Ube Chaf Dalet, the sugyos of Chanukah. Let's take a look at, as Rabbi Konigsberg said yesterday, you think about the departure points where you begin to explore the world of Hanukkah. So one is that brace in the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Mitzvah Hanukkah Ner Shubeso, which as we explored last week, expressly talks about numbers, but Memela also gets you thinking not only about how many, but who and where, and the nature of the mitzvah as a mitzvah habayis, which reverberates later in the sugya. But let's take a look at the other major departure point later in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Let's take a look together at the Maychan, the Brisa of Maychanaka. Let's read this Brisa carefully. Maychanaka, what is Chanukah? Rashi says, Al Eza Neske Va'uha. They were Koveya Chanukah in conjunction in response to which Nes? The Tan Rabbanan a Brisa. Chafei b'Kislev Yom de Chanukah to Manaya Inun, 25th of Kislev, days of Chanukah, they are 8. Anything strike you already about this brisa? Being incredibly strange, or I should say, unusual. By the way, what strikes you? As opposed to most 99% of brises you've encountered?
Well, first of all, it doesn't actually say
date. Chafei b'Kislev Yom de Chanukah to Manaya Inun, the 25th of Kislev, the days of Hanukkah, they are 8. Yeah, but what else do you notice? It is an interesting way of presenting the date, I agree. In part, it's because the end date of Hanukkah is not fixed. As you know, like this year, we have today's only day of Rosh Chodesh, meaning this year, Kislev and Cheshvan are the 2 months, and the way our calendar is set up, post Hillel HaSheni, Cheshvan and Kislev are the 2 months which are a variable length. Sometimes about 30 days, sometimes about 29 days, and sometimes Cheshvan is 29 and Kislev is 30. That's one of the ways that you tweak that 1 year is different. The most obvious way 1 year is different than the next is the Shana Mubaris or not, but there are finer tweaks also, particularly that. So that's why, because Kislev can be either 29 or 30 days, the last day of Hanukkah is either the third or the second. That's what we say. 8 days beginning with Chafei Kislev. But what else is strange? Right, the language is strange, but what else? What other sense is the language strange? Literally. Starting with a question.
Instead of there are 8 days of Hanukkah,
the
days of Hanukkah are 8.
The 8 days of Hanukkah are 8. Good. You guys are fancy. Even Mamash Pashut. We started with a question. The Gemara started with my Hanukkah is the Gemara speaking. The Tana Rabbanan, the answer is, but you're right, my Hanukkah strikes us as the Amoraim because it's an Aramaic. The Tana Rabbanan, you expect to hear, what language?
Hebrew.
Mishnayos and Brises are almost invariably in Hebrew. All of a sudden here, Chafei Kislev Yom HaDechanukah T'manayi Nun, number one, it's Aramaic. Number two, as Yaakov has pointed out, it's more archaic. It's an older type of Aramaic. The Tzmanai Inun is a funny way to order the words. Inun as opposed to Inhu. This is an older. Delola Mispeid Bahon. Delola Hisana Bahon. Not to have Hesped in them, not Behu, but Bahon. This is like the almost like the Aramaic of Tanakh. Daniel and Ezra. Then you can't fast. So right away, this is a Brisa, but it's an Aramaic. It, wording is sort of interesting. And also Bachal. When you have a Brisa, it starts with a date. 25th of Kislev, for 8 days, that you don't say, and that the first thing you tell me is there's no Hesped, the second thing you tell me is there's no Tinus. What do you expect to hear? Chanukah is a Yontif of?
Light in the
menorah. Right? No. Chanukah, din number one, Chanukah goes for 8 days starting Chafei Kislev. Okay. But mitzvah number one, din number one is, you're not allowed to have Hesped. And Rechmal Tzlan, person loses a relative, you bury a relative on Chanukah, you do a kvura and you begin Shiva. It's not a yantif like the Shalosh Olam. Shiva begins on Chanukah, but no hespedim at that levaya. You have to save the hespedim for after Chanukah is over. And you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah. Okay, that's interesting, Dinam. I didn't know. But it's odd that that's the opening din. And then we go on to give the story. Why? Shnichlus Yivam Lehechal Yivanu Kenin to Beis Hamikdash. Tzimu Kol Hashmai Shveichal. The Matami Olu Oil. Kishu Gavra Malchus Beis Chashmonaim Tzachum. When the Chashmonaim succeeded in achieving military victory over the Greeks, the Syrian Greeks. But they come back into the Beis HaMikdash and they can once again retake the space, use the Beis HaMikdash the way it's supposed to be used. The Kedusha of the Tahara. Tahara was at a premium. They're looking for oil for the menorah. They only find the one jar, one cruse of oil. Shahaya Munach, it was placed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. The only one? Laibol Elohad Likyom Echad. Our girsa is it only contained enough oil to light for one night. Nasibonais, Vidlikimena Shimon Yamim. Kadosh Baruch Hu performs a nace. The nace was done, and the oil was supposed to last for a day, lasts for 8 days. Shana Acheres, a different year, or the next year, Kivaum Vasom Yom Tovim, Chachme Hadar established these days as Yom Tovim. Yom Tovim, usually the word term Yom Tov means Asr B'Malacha. So here we say Yom Tovim B'Halo V'Oda. They made them to be Yom Tovim specifically with respect to Halal and Hoda. So Rashi says, Asom Yom Tovim Halavoda, Lo Shasum Malacha, says Rashi. And not Asur Malacha. Well, what's Rashi driving at? What we just said. Usually Yom Tov means the day of Asur Malacha. So that's what Rashi is explaining. It's not going to say the day of Yom Tov. The day of Yom Tov with respect to Halal Hoda. Not a full Yom Tov with Asur Malacha, but only with respect to Halal V'Hoda. What's Halal? What's Hoda? The crow's Halal, as we did this morning. The Lomar Al Anisim, Hoda. And to say Anisim in Hoda, Hoda, with a capital Hey, is the title of which part of the Davi? Moses, right? Many of the brachas, Mishmar Esther, have a name, a title attached to it, the Gemara uses. One of them is Hoda. Modim is the brach of Hoda. So you say, Halo, Chanukah. It's not a Yom Tov with respect to Yisra Malacha, no Yisra Malacha. So Gemara said that some communities, women had a practice not to do Malacha while the Neres are burning, okay? That's a minute that we're open to entertaining, that's the way it's presented in the Shulchan Aruch. But there's no actually some Lacha Chanukah, but it's Yom Tov respect to saying Halo, it's Yom Tov respect to the Bracha of Modim. We say Alanisim in Modim. So, did we discuss last week what's missing from this Bryce in terms of story?
Yes.
It starts with missing in terms of story. What's missing in terms of story is the Nes
Mechal.
Yeah, and what's missing in terms of the Dinim?
It's
the Dinim. The four dinim. If I asked you were the top four dinim of Hanukkah, top four dinim of Hanukkah, not one of them is near Hanukkah. Isser Hesped, Isser Tainus, Halal, and Alanisim. Now, again, those dinim do all appear in Shulchan Aruch. That's when we start opening Shulchan Aruch a little bit, some Tafrei Shayin, Tafrei Shayin Halal. And over the course of the 12, 15 or so simanim of Hilchas Hanukkah, in Shulchan Aruch, they do talk about the Isser Hesped and the Isser Tainus and Sein Halal and Sein Halal Nisim, but the lion's place, the bulk of Hilchas Hanukkah is Ner Hanukkah, not just in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara. We've been learning these sugyas. If you got to Daf Chav Dalid, then you start getting to hearing about Al Nisim. But the bulk, Chav Aleph, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, Ner Hanukkah. As a matter of fact, this brisa is surrounded by Neres Chanukah, before and after. But the brisa itself doesn't say a word about Neres Chanukah. Hello? Hello, Davarhu. Hello, Davarhu. Hello, Davarhu. Yeah, what do you say, Davarhu?
Isn't the brisa, this is, because you got from office, based on when you need to sell them, isn't that that's mentioning the Muhammad?
Yeah, true. In terms of the, so there are two layers of missingness of Hashmata in this Braisa. Last week we focused more on the what's missing in terms of the Agada, in terms of the story. You're right that there's a reference that there was a Melchama, but the Braisa doesn't explain at all. Not only is it downplayed, so it's backdrop, just the setting, the timing for the Nes HaShemen, but it doesn't even tell you that it was miraculous. It says they won. Was that a Nes? I don't know. And before, if all I had was this race, I might have thought that it was an even match militarily. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, they won, but it wasn't an ace. I could have even thought that there were more Chashmonon than Yivanim. Right? It's an Alanisim, that's what we spoke of last week. It's Alanisim where it's clear that it's an ace, and ironically, in Alanisim, it's the reverse, it's inverted. It just mentions after the whole Nes Mechama, they lit the menorah in Beis HaMikdash. It mentions Hadlakas the menorah, but it doesn't stress it. And there isn't even a hint to the fact that there was a nace. So that we discussed the last week in terms of Persume Nisa versus Hoda'a. But now we're focused on the halachic hashmata. In terms of but it's all the more ironic, in terms of the story, in terms of the narrative, the part that the Braisa highlights is a Nes HaShemen, but in terms of the dinim, the mitzvah, the din of Chanukah that seems most connected to Nes HaShemen, i.e. Ner Chanukah, is bizarrely missing. What do you say, Yavel?
I have a separate add-on question.
Okay, yeah. But first, does anyone want to respond to this question? Yeah?
The things mentioned in the Braisa, the no hafzes, the no tainus, the hill and no tot, that's describing what kind of Yom Tov Chanukah is.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a Yom Tov the kind that you light menorah on, the kind you light near Chanukah.
Oh. So Avichai is suggesting, if I could rephrase, tell me if I'm capturing it correctly, Avichai is saying there's the definition of it being a Yom Tov, and then there's the Mitzvah Sayom. He's saying the nature of the Ner Chanukah is an event. It's a maisa that you do at some point over the course of the night of Chanukah. But it's not happening throughout. Whereas Isser Hesped is 24 hours a day. Isser Titus is 24 hours a day. Hodah happens several times a day. Hallel only happens once a day, like Hadlakas Neiris. But you're saying maybe those are more sort of the flavor of the day, the identity of the day, as opposed to a mitzvah superimposed. Interesting, yeah?
So the question is not, what do you do on Hanukkah? It's what is Hanukkah? So
okay.
It's the story, so, and then the things that are always constant. And you could say
Al-Nisim many times. Al-Nisim you say three times a day. Right? You'll notice Rashi only mentions Al-Nisim in Tefillah. The Gemara later talks about, we show them understand, Al-Nisim in Tefillah versus Al-Nisim in benching. Benching is probably not a chiyuv, although it's certainly an ancient mimic. But yeah, Al-Nisim, at least even in Tefillah, happens three, or today, four times a day, in Musaf also. Okay. So that's definitely one way to think about it, that the Braisa is talking about the nature of the day, the quality, the identity of the day, as opposed to a mitzvah yom that's superimposed. As opposed to a mitzvah yom that's superimposed. It could be. It should be noted that in Chumash, there is a Yom Tov that we identify as being a day of its Mitzvah Hayom. At least one. Or comes to mind offhand is Rosh Hashanah, is Yom Teruah. It's a day of Teruah, even though there's just a Mitzvah Hayom that happens at one point. That doesn't cannot happen at night. But it's definitely, so there you seem to see as though the Mitzvah Hayom does define the day. But it definitely, it's a very interesting way of thinking. Yeah, other thoughts about this?
Mainly focus on the Neros.
One of the differences between the Neis Shem and the Neis Muhammad is that the Neis Hashem was a Neis Nigla true, and Neis Muhammad was a Neis Nister. That is correct. Which then heightens the problem that in this Braisa, that is focused on the Neis Nigla of the Shaman, we leave out mention of the mitzvah of menorah. So one possibility is definitely what the two of you are suggesting, which is maybe the Braisa isn't coming to teach me mitzvah yom, the Braisa is coming to teach me those dinim that define the day, which is definitely something to think about. Yeah?
Perhaps if you put it in context a little bit, you can tell it's like, it's possible at the time they were writing it was like a dangerous time to light outside, and also a time where the story of the menorah and Hashem's like this, were more important for the Jewish people than there was the Melchama, publicly at least. So the things that they were talking about was those things that are not the menorah, because that might cause issue with whatever power is ruling over us. And then focusing on the oil, which is a much more religious side of the story, to inspire.
That's interesting. So you're saying what Reuven Margolius says about the Mishnayos, maybe true at this price also, that we're trying to downplay the nationalistic elements that might ruffle the feathers. So we leave out the Neis HaMelchama, and we leave out the Hadlakas HaMenorah. That's interesting. It's just, again, in terms of Hashmatas Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah,
Rabbanan. On Braisa, on Chafal, on the Beis. That requires an answer. So suggestion number one is the Braisa includes only the nature of the day, tivayo. Maybe Ner Chanukah is sort of a superimposed separate mitzvah hayom. Number two is we're avoiding.
It's just that it doesn't have to go through. It doesn't have to be an exhaustive list. The same way, like I don't think the Gemara goes through every single part of the Seder for Pesach.
That might be true, but if I asked you, we're talking about the Leil HaSeder, and you left out matzah and carbon Pesach. And all you spoke about was karpas and nirtza and even halal, you'd say that's totally.
You're saying you only discuss the relevant parts. The parts that
this is pretty relevant.
For the time. So they discuss the narrows in terms of what's going on with the story. And they discuss
maybe. Let me show you a third. Is there a rishon that you saw? And I'll give you a hint. Rishon that you saw in Hebrew, speaking about language, who provides a very straightforward and intriguing solution. If we could look into Rishonim, we'll probably find two additional solutions to this problem. The easiest solution is a Rishon who wrote in Hebrew. Which Rishon is most famous for writing his major work in a beautiful Neo-Mishnaic Hebrew instead of Aramaic? Huh? The Rif sometimes. The Rif's great-grandson, the Meiri, certainly writes in Hebrew. That's because the Meiri is probably trying to copy one of his heroes, the Rif's intellectual great-grandson. The Rif's Talmud Muvak was probably the Rimagash. Rif had many Talmudim, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and others. Many see as the Rif's Talmud Muvak is the Rimagash. The Rimagash had a Talmud named Rabbeinu Maimon. Rabbeinu Maimon is most famous to us because of his son, Maimon Adiz. Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Maimon, otherwise known as the Rambam. The Rambam is actually the one who identifies Rima Gash as like an overwhelmingly incredible Talmud Chacham, overpowering his intellectual grandfather. His father, the Rambam was the Talmud of his father, Rabbeinu Maimon, or Maimon was the Talmud of the Rima Gash, who was the Talmud of it. But take a look at the Rambam. And we've mentioned in the past, and we've seen a little bit, this happens to be an unusually stunning example. Aside from the content of the sugya, in terms of Derech HaLimud and developing sensitivity to how to read a Rambam with a sophisticated eye, what we're bound to see is these Rambams are really exceptional. I think I mentioned in the past that the Rambam, but in general, one key tool in developing your toolbox of Derech HaLimud toolbox of learning Rishonim more deeply, one of the things you need is to know what type of sefer that Rishon is writing, what genre he's writing, so that you can then begin to be sensitive to what are the kashas to look out for, and what are the diukim that are worth making. So Rambam in particular, unlike most Rishonim that you're learning at this point in your learning career, as time goes on, you'll broaden your scope. At this point, Rambam is unique in that he was not writing al Seder HaGemara. Rash is writing a Pirush on Gemara, and Taisus, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, all writing Pirushim or Chidushim, daf al daf, amud by amud, line by line. Even the Rif, who's writing a Sefer Halacha, it's a Kitzur of the Gemara. So he's not commenting every line of the Gemara, but he's taking the Gemara, taking out the parts that are not relevant to Halacha L'maisa, expanding on something to Halacha L'maisa, but basically going on Sefer HaGemara. The Rambam, and later the Tur, depart from that. They're not trying to write al Seder HaGemara. They're writing an independent, freestanding halacha sefer. And specifically, the Rambam, more than probably anyone else, is seeking to reorganize everything. One of the three main unique features of the Rambam is the sefer halacha, as opposed to the Rif and other and Gaonim and others who came before him, is that he is reorganizing from the ground up, from scratch.
He made his own division of all of Tarek Mitzvahs into the 14 Svarim, Ma'ad, Av, Azmanim, and everything. The goal was that everything has its place. He's not putting all Din Masecha Shabbos and Shabbos, all Din Masecha Ervin and Ervin, all Din Bava Kama, Bava Kama. He start from, if a Din is came up conversationally in Bava Kama, but it's really Din Yavamas, he's going to put it in Yibam V'chalitza, almost invariably. The Rambam's main goals in writing the Mishnah Torah was to gather all the maskanas of the Torah Shal Peh and put them into strict logical order. We touched on this a little bit earlier in the year. That's why location matters so much in Rambam. That's what Biskrov points out in his first piece in a sefer on the Rambam. The Biskrov already points out, this parak is about this topic, that parak is about that topic in the Rambam. So where something shows up is going to be definitive in terms of what it means and how he's seen it. Another feature of the Rambam is that because he wasn't writing al Seder HaGemara, he's just taking the maskanas of the Torah Shel Peh and organizing them in logical order. So if he has a chiddush, from his point of view, he's not giving you a chidushim. I think Asaf points out maybe 99 times the whole Mishnah Torah, they says Yeroi Li. It seems to me that, The Rambam writes in a letter, and he indicates this in his introduction also to Mishnah Torah, that his goal was to quote the Torah Shel Peh, to quote the works of Chazal, broadly, not only the Bavli, but the Bavli, the Rishalmi, the Mishnayos, the Tosefta, the Midrash HaHalacha, the Chilta, Sifra, Sifrei. But as far as he's concerned, he's quoting Chazal. If he has a Chiddush, if he wants to say his own Chiddush, he'll tell you, it seems to me, which is rarely the case. As far as he's concerned, he's just telling you Chazal. So where do you find the Rambam's Chidushim? See, here's the thing. He's not writing on Seder anymore. He's not now he's up. Look at the Rambam writes in Shabbos Kabbalah and they see what his Chidushim are. What's his Kasha, what's his Karas? He doesn't do that. He's not writing that type of Sefer. And it's not a Perish, it's not Chidushim. It's a organization, a reorganized system of the collection, reorganized collection of the Maskanas of Torah Shel Peh. So if the Rambam had a chiddush in how he read it tomorrow, where are you going to find it? How are you going to find it? By reading very carefully. Exactly. As far as he's concerned, he is giving you the Gemara. Except that he might have had a different understanding of the Gemara than other Rishonim. So it'll be reflected subtly in the way that he quotes. And because he is so, a third point, because he is so, from his perspective, he's just quoting Chazal, you can point to a specific line and say, what's the Makar Chazal for this line in the Rambam? Is it a Gemara? Is it Yerushalmi? What? Where? So the classic notes that can't really do a lot of that work, the Kesef of Mishnah, and Magen Mishnah, and others. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was, as you know, an unbelievable bucky. See, he wrote a kuntres called Abraham, called Kiryas Melech, where he takes you through the Rambam line by line, or whatever there was a line in the Rambam that the classic notes that came didn't show you where it comes from the Chazal, to the extent that he was able to find the Makar, he doesn't have also every single line. He'll say, oh, there's not even the example. So Rambam will give three examples of something. Oh, that one's from the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Nun, that one's from the Yerushalmi. Every sneeze, from the Rambam's perspective, he's quoting Chazal. Unless he says, it seems to me, he's quoting Chazal. So with that in mind, let's look at the opening of Hilchos Chanukah in the Rambam. As you mentioned earlier, the Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah uniquely, unlike the other Yom Tovim, with the story, because the story itself, as the Rav pointed out in the Shir many decades ago, the story of Chanukah is itself Torah Shel Peh, unlike the story of Purim, the story of Pesach. See, the first two halachas, Hilchos Chanukah begins with Paragimel, Prakim Aleph and Beis HaMegillah. Prakim Gimel Dal HaKhanukah. So you have Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah together, because whenever you have he never had a chunk less than three Prakim more. Whenever you have smaller chunks, they get bunched with other things. Megillah, Chanukah, each to Prakim. They make one combined, Hilchos Megillah and Chanukah. Here we have Hilchos Chanukah, Paragimel, Halacha Aleph. Let's take a brief peek at Halacha Aleph, then we'll focus on Beis and Gimel. Vayi Sheikh Shemal Yavan. He sets the stage on Halacha Aleph. There was a terrible religious persecution by the Yavanim, and they didn't allow them to learn Torah, to keep mitzvahs, and they stole from them, and they raped the women, Rachman al-Itzlan, Pashtriyadnum, Imonam, Vivino Sehem. And they entered the Beis HaMikdash, and they did terrible things to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Nosekim point out, and this is from this is from a Gemara here, and this is from a Gemara there, and there's a Mishnah in Talmud and Midos. Okay. Ad Sharichem Aleihem Elokei Avoseinu Hashiyam Yadam. It was terrible lachatz until HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. Davru B'nei Chashmonai HaKohanim HaGedolim HaRagum. The B'nei Chashmonai, the Kohanim Gedolim. I don't know if he means literally they were all Kohanim Gedolim. It means they were great Kohanim. They HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them military victory. And they eliminated the enemies. Hoshir Yisrael Miyadam. Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim. And they had a king who was a Kohen. Chazra Malach Yisrael Yesal Masayim. Shana Ad Churim Hashem. And that was the establishment of the second Jewish Commonwealth. The second time the Jewish people had sovereignty over Eretz Israel was the from the Nes Chanukah and on, deeper into the Bayis Sheni period. During the Bayis Rishon period, the Jews had sovereignty in Eretz Israel up until the days of Yoshiyahu. At the very end, they became a vassal state to a series of different empires. And then they came back for Bayis Sheni, we were part of the Persian Empire. And then Alexander conquered the Persians. We became part of Alexander's empire, which then split after Alexander's death. We became specifically part of the Syrian Greek segment. So finally, they overthrew Antioch. The Jews threw Antiochus out of Eretz Israel, and that was the beginning of the second time, the second Commonwealth, the second time the Jews would have sovereignty. Towards the end of the Bayis Sheni period, we lost it to the Romans, and then at that point, we did not regain sovereignty in Eretz Israel until 1948. And then the Ram writes halacha beis, kishagav Yisrael oliveihem ve'ibdum b'chamisha rasa b'kislev chorish kislev haya. Oh, 25th of Kislev. Nichus l'heichal lamatru shem entar mikdash al pachechad. What's he quoting at that point? Halacha beis. Which source? This brisa. Shabbos chafal from beis. Right. Yep. They prime the one pach. Etc. Okay. Halacha gimel. So halacha beis is the tzara. Halacha gimel is halacha beis, halacha aleph is the tsar of the neis ha-melchama, halacha beis the neis ha-shemen, and now halacha gimel, the halachas. But pnezeh eskin ha-chachamim, look carefully inside. If you're watching carefully, what's that? If you're not watching carefully, again, as I said before, the Rambam isn't presented as always saying a big chiddush, he's just talking. And it sounds very, you know, it's not a obscure Gemara in Yevamos. Or obscure Mishnah Machshir. It seems like, yeah, we know this. If you're not paying attention, you can breeze right by the Rambam, like he didn't say anything. The Chacham of that generation were Masakin. Shemonas Hayamim Ha'elu Shetchilasan Milel Chamisha Ve'esrim B'Kislev. These 8 days, which begin the night of the 25th of Kislev, there you may simcha v'halal, days of simcha and halal. Umad likiver neres be'erva pischei abatim b'chalayla v'layla mishmonos haylelos. And we light candles at the Pesach Habayis every night, these 8 nights. L'haros u'legalos haneis, to demonstrate and reveal the neis. V'yam me'elo heina karm Chanukah. These 8 days are called Chanukah. V'heina surim behesped v'tainis ki mea purim. And the v'isra has been tainis, which is the same as with Purim. And this Hadlakas Neres, which he already mentioned, Hadlakas Neres Behen, lighting the Neres in them, in these 8 days, Mitzvah Divei Sofim, Kekriyas HaMegillah. You notice anything interesting? He switches the order, good. Now switches the order, where is he speaks to, where does he get it from? What source is he quoting Chazal, at least for the first two-thirds of this Halacha?
The
Brisa. The Brisa, right? He said, the Shmona, and you notice, for instance, right at the end of the first line, Shmonas Hayamim Ha'elu Shetchilasan Milel Chamisha Asim M, Chamisha Asim Mekitzin. The 8 days that begin with the 25th of Kislev. That's a turn of phrase that reminds you of, right? Kafei the Kislev to Manaya Inulim. He clearly referenced the beginning of that brisa. And what does he say? They're days of Simcha and Hallel. I've heard that before. Simcha, as in the Isra Hetpiz Batinus, is a Shava Al Kasa expression of Simcha. You can't even ask the Tainus because it's a day that would be inimical, it would be contradictory to the Simcha of Hanukkah. And Hallel, where did we get that from? The Braisa. And what came in the, and what could Rabbi say wrapped the Hallel?
Lightning.
What happened to the next item of the Braisa? What's the next item of the Braisa? What does Rabbi say? They made them in Kivon Vasom Yom Tov. That's what he said. The Chachamim made them in Yom Tovim, V'halal V'hodah.
Where do you see Alisa there? As a matter of fact, Rishalti points out, not only is Alisa not in this paragraph, it's not anywhere in Hilchos Hanukkah. Ever. It appears in Hilchos Tefila. And the halacha is the Shema Esrei. You have Mashurah Horna Gosha, you have Tikam Al Duraka, and you add Al Nisim. Where is Al Nisim? The Rambam is quoting the Braisa. Halel the Hodah. Where is your Hodah? Here's your Hodah. Bingo! So Rishalti suggests the Rambam translated Hodah not as Modim, but as thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Ner Hanukkah. And that's why he actually is quoting the Braisa beautifully, elegantly. The Braisa said, 28 days, the beginning of the 25th of Kislev, is Ishahat B'Tainas, Simcha, Hallel, the Hodah. What does Hodah mean? Again, as I said, the Rambam doesn't say, wave a red flag and say, oh, I think Hodah means Ner Hanukkah. He's not writing a Perush. He's just talking. But he assumes, he understood the Hodah meant Ner Hanukkah. So he quotes, if you want to notice what the Rambam's Kiddush is, you're going to have to be paying careful attention, reverse engineer, and figure out, well, what's he quoting? Oh, that must be the way he read it. So Rishalti points out,
and Bezalel Rishalti was when the great Rabban of Yerushalayim in the late 20th century, mid to late 20th century, and he had a beautiful sentence from Mishnas Yavetz, three volumes. The volume on Arachayim is on Yom Tovim, and specifically the Shiurim he gave, public Shiurim he gave Yontif time around Yerushalayim. Just to give you a sense of who Rishalti was, if the name is unfamiliar, many years ago I was in Ray Willig's office waiting to talk to him, and while he was, I think, on a phone call, I was waiting to talk to him. So meanwhile, I was browsing his Svarim collection, and I noticed there was a Jewish Torah journal. I took it off the shelf. It was published by a Kollel in Yerushalayim. So there were articles and learning from the Rosh Kollel and from the Chavrei HaKollel. The Chavrei HaKollel, this goes back a couple of decades, the members of the Kollel were named, they didn't have smicha yet. So there were names that included Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, and Ovadia Yosef, as young Kollelites. Who was the Rosh Kollel? Rabbi Bezalel Rishalti. So it gives you a little sense. He was a very significant time. He was the Rosh Kollel to the young Shlomo Zalman, the young Eliashiv, the young Ravadia. So he has a, if you want to take a look, in Mishnah's Yavetz Simon Ayin Gimel, he points out that he found an Italian Rishon, the Riaz. It's published. Riaz is published separately. Riaz HaShalim is published in 64. So if you I dug it up, it's Osches on Shabbos Daf Chafal. So he says Lashana Acheres Kivaum Vasom Shmona Yamim Shagom Behem Esahalal Umodim Al Hanes by Lakas Haneres. So Riaz says it explicitly. Halal the Hodah is Halal and Ner Hanukkah. Halal and Ner Hanukkah. If you look in the Rambam, once you see that, it's even clearer when you look in the Rambam that Hodah means Ner Hanukkah. Rav Chaim Freelander points out, I don't think I put this Rambam in the Maror Makamos. If you look at the very end of Hilchos Hanukkah, the end of Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis or so, when he gives us sort of the Hashkafa and Agada at the end of Hilchos Hanukkah, there he also talks about Ner Hanukkah not only as Persume Nisa, not only Legalos as Hanes, but also as a form of Hodah. So it all hangs together. So in terms of why isn't there Hanukkah not appear in the Braisa? So one suggestion was maybe the Braisa only talks about, the Braisa isn't talking about Mitzayot. Or maybe the Braisa is not talking about the nationalistic elements. Or you have the Rambam and the Riaz, the Rebbe Yeshaya, who say, it is there. That's what Hodah means. Hodah means now, who disagrees with that? Rashi definitely disagrees. Versus Rashi. Rashi said explicitly, Ner Hanukkah, the Hodah means Al Hanisim. Again, the Rambam consistently understands the Hodah is Ner Hanukkah. That's why the Rambam in Gimel, when he quotes the Braisa, the halachic part of Bar Hanukkah, he puts in Ner Hanukkah where it belongs. That's why it says the end of Perek Dalet, when he reviews the Hashkafa of Ner Hanukkah, he talks about not only Persumi Nisa, Legalos HaSaneis, but also Hoda'a. That's why Alanisim appears, as Rishalti points out, only in Hilchas Tefila for the Rambam, because Alanisim is not. Alanisim is not a
uniquely a mitzvah of Chanukah. It's a general rule. It's a Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Whenever you have a special day, you have to, the davening has to reflect. Mein Amora. Shabbos, Pesach, Purim, Chanukah. It's not a special takana of Chanukah, Alanisim.
It's the same as any other special day in the calendar. That's Hilchas Tefila. Part of Hilchas Tefila is you don't daven the same daven every single day. The Tefila has to mark the Me'ein HaMa'ora. The Tefila has to mark whatever unique events happen on that day. And finally, you know what's unbelievably gewaldic?
For the Rambam? I told you before, the Rambam has two prakim Hilchas Chanukah. Hilchas Megill, the Chanukah, prakim Alpha Beza, Bapur. Prakim Gimel Dal are about the Dina of Chanukah. What are the two prakim about? I said before, you and Rambam organize things at the prakim. What are the two prakim about? So, as you see here,
Paragimel begins three halachas of the story, and then Kedarko, he lays out in thumbnail fashion, just sort of names the basic din of this. Simcha, and Halal, and Ner Chanukah. For the rest of Paragimel is about Halal. He talks about Halal and Chanukah, and then he actually talks about Halal in general. Halal, all the Yom Tovim, is here. Paragimel, Hilchas Chanukah. Earlier in the year, I think we actually looked at Rambam in Chanukah Gimel Vav, who talks about not saying Halal and Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Because the address in Mishnah Torah, in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, the address for Halal is Chanukah Paragimel. And what's Chanukah Perek Dalet about? As you see from these selections you have here. What's Chanukah Perek Dalet about?
Lighting.
Ner Chanukah. In other words, the Rambam said, Perek Gimel is about Halal, Perek Dalet is about Ner Chanukah. Why? Because the Rambam, those are the two basic mitzvahs drabbanan of Chanukah. God, that's what the Braisa said, the oldest source we have.
That's what the Braisa says. There are detailed, important dinim about what you can do. And by the way, you can also think about the fact that if those are the two mitzvahs, the two prior mitzvahs of Chanukah, Halal and Hodah mean Chanukah, they probably correspond very well to the two Nisim. Halal is, as we were discussing last week, the thank you, Tzadkadosh Baruch Hu, you say, Yodu Hashem Chazda. You thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for having saved us. This is what Erechim says. You say Halal because of the Nisa. Say Halal on Chanukah because of the Nes. Presumably that means Nes HaMelchav, the Hatzalah. And then Ner Chanukah obviously is meant to remind us of the Nes HaShem. So the Rambam is very, very, very elegant, very smooth. Halal Kvam HaSom B'Yom Tov B'Halal V'Hodah. It means Halal, and as he translates Hodah, Ner Chanukah. That's Perek Gimel, that's Perek Dalet, Perek Gimel is Halal, Perek Dalet is Hodah, Perek Gimel is Halal, which corresponds to the Nes HaMelchama, the Yeshua, the Hatzalah, the Chesed, Perek Dalet is Ner Chanukah, which corresponds to the Nes HaShemen. Fantastic. Elegant. Elegant. However, clearly, not everyone learns the Brice that way. Rashi explicitly did not learn the Brice that way. So for Rashi, we still need a Teretz. Right, for Rashi, the answer to the Rambam is the question is wrong. Well, how come they're Chanukah missing the Braisa? The Rambam says, it's God missing the Braisa. It's right there. That's what you have to know how to translate the words. Hodah means Chanukah. Again, and before we leave this, just to reiterate the way we began, we were entering into the Rambam. Now reflect back, and I told you, you're going to see, these Rambams are a beautiful opportunity to see how you need to look at things sensitively to see his Kiddushim. And now you look back at Aram again. Before you looked at Aram, he's like, hey, parents, nice drama. Chazir is the end that I know. And now all of a sudden you see, with subtlety, he gives us a massive chiddush. And it's a chiddush that reverberates throughout where he puts everything. You see, once you look with careful eyes, because of his style, he's not telling you, by the way, the word Hodah means Ner Chanukah because he's not writing Pirush on the Gemara. He's just writing, he's just collecting the Masechtos. But the way he does it, if you work backwards, you see, oh, this must be the way he read it. The Riyaz does say it explicitly. Clearly the Rambam meant it. That's why he quotes the Brice of this way in Gimel Gimel. That's why Per Gimel's Hal, Per Dal is Ner Chanukah. That's why he says in Dal Yud Beis, explicitly Ner Chanukah is for Hodah as well as historical presumenis. So not just knowing what happened, but an emotional reaction. And that's why Al Nisim is not here. Al Nisim is over there in the Hilchot Tefillah, because the Rambam, Al Nisim is not a Kiyam in Chanukah. And again, there's a lot to think about. Maybe we'll talk about some more tonight. But often Machshava, like, what does it mean that Ner Chanukah is a thank you? It's an interesting take. Ner Chanukah is a thank you. Ner Chanukah is history. Chanukah is reminding you of what happened for Sumer Nisa. Ner Chanukah is a thank you. That's an interesting nusa. But Rashi clearly didn't have this. So that's one mystery. One mystery is what happened. What happened to Ner Chanukah? That Ner Chanukah brisa, if you hold like Rashi. So that's question number one. Symbols. According to Rashi, Ner Chanukah is not in the Brisa of my Chanukah. That's probably what. Here's another question. Yeah?
According to Rashi's explanation of what my Chanukah is actually asking, isn't a lot of it irrelevant?
Oh, Eza Neskeva Uha.
Yeah.
So what do you mean?
So it's going to be a lot shorter. According to what Rashi's saying, the only question
is what's the historical background?
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. It's also, well, it makes it even stranger if you want to know they were kovei the yontif, and presumably our focus here, it's, we already chazered some demon in our chazered. Now, by the way, what's the backstory for all this? You would expect something that connects the story to Ner Chanukah, so it makes this kasha even stronger. You're right that we could have just given you the middle, the pith of the brisa that talks about the story. But it is also true, you know, from elsewhere, that's often the case that once the Gemara wants to quote a brice of one line, we'll often quote a larger chunk. You see the Shiltos? You see the Shiltos? Who is the Rush? The Rush quotes the Shiltos. Anyone see the Rush between the Shiltos? Well, take a look. Comes up every year. Comes up every year. What does the Rush say? Shiltos Rav Acha. Here, Shabbos Parag Beis Simen Tes. The Rush is working based on the organization of the Rif, Al Seder HaGemara. So he gets to Hilchus Chanukah towards the beginning of Bamei Mevlikin. Here we are, Berak Beis Siman Tes, on Masechta Shabbos. She'iltos Rav Achai. I think we saw another Shiltos earlier in the year.
Yeah. Right?
Shiltos was probably the most ancient freestanding, the first freestanding halacha sefer Acha Chasima Satalman. From around 200 years or so after Chasimus HaTalmud, one of the Gaonim, usually attributed to Rav Achoy, he wrote halachic discussions organized Al Seder HaParshas. So when he discusses Ner Chanukah, he says, following Shaila, Ner Chanukah Shahosir, Boshev, and Ma'u Tzarek Lassim. What do you do with the Ner Chanukah if they have leftover oil? So you hope that you burn down to the bottom. But let's say you wake up in the morning and this one of the lights didn't go. The wick went out, whatever it was, there's still half a cup of oil left. So what do you do? Tashma, it quotes the Brisa that we do not have other than as quoted by the Shiltos. You can look in the Shiltos, find the Tosam, or you can look in the Rosh, quote the Shiltos. Tashma, I'm talking about, Father, Nirchanaka shows Rosh Hashanah, and Nirchanaka with leftover oil. Next morning, there's some oil still left in the cup. What do you do? Yom Risha, most of them on Liko, Yom Shem. You wake up the first morning of Hanukkah and there's leftover oil, so top off the cup and use it for the next night. Another, you can recycle last night's oil for tonight. And same thing. Every day of Hanukkah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Every time you wake up in the morning and there's leftover oil, no problem. You're allowed to use it again for the next night. There's nothing wrong with using last night's leftovers for tonight. But obviously, what do you do on this coming Friday morning? The morning is Hanukkah.
There is no Havlaka the coming night. There's no night of Hanukkah. And the whole Rabbi Yom HaShemini, you wake up in the morning of the eighth day, as it was Hanukkah, and there's leftover oil, so what are you going to do? Oh, Solo Madura, what would you think you should do?
On the eighth day, there's no oil left.
Doesn't you have extra oil? I filled my cups of oil for the eighth night. I lit them, but they didn't burn down to the bottom, so I wake up in the morning of the eighth day of Hanukkah, there's leftover oil. What do I do with leftover oil? This is a specific example of a more general question, which is, what do you do with leftover Cheftzei Mitzvah? Right. So sometimes you bury Cheftzei Mitzvah that are decommissioned, good, and sometimes you don't. What does the Gemara say in Maseches Megillah, beginning the fourth parak? Daf Chavav and Beis, what do you see? The Gemara says, right? Can you reuse? Can you throw out in the garbage when you're done with the you're done with the lulav? Do you throw in the garbage or do you put in the shemus? We're done with the mezuzah. I move out of the house. My mezuzah fell off. Whatever it is, I took the mezuzah to be checked by a sofer. The sofer says it's full of mistakes. It's not fixable. Okay. So what do we do with a mezuzah that we're no longer using? What do we do with an esrog no longer using? What's the rule?
Make it true.
Oh, good. So the Gemara Megillah says, take a look inside. Very good. The Gemara says, as is usually the case, the answer is. Depends.
What?
Answer is depends.
Depends?
It depends.
Oh.
Depends on the variable. Tanarabana. Here is Snackamil Kavam Bez Masafat Megillah, the very beginning of the last parak, where we have the Prakam organized. The beginning here is the fourth parak. Tanarabana. Tashmisha Mitzin Nizraki Tashmisha Kiddush Nignazim. Items used for a mitzvah can be thrown in the garbage when you're done with them. The items they use for kedusha cannot be thrown in the garbage. When you're done with them, nignazim, they go into geniza. Ashkenazim refer to geniza in Yiddish as shemus. But the original Hebrew term, and the modern Hebrew term also, and Sfarim have been using the Hebrew term throughout, is geniza, or geniza. So you hear about the Cairo geniza, they found all these fascinating manuscripts, so that the shemus for the Cairo kehila. The geniza, so If something is used for a mitzvah, you throw in the garbage. Something is used for kedusha, then it has to be put into shemus. It has to be put into geniza. Those are very amorphous terms. Not amorphous, ambiguous. So what? Well, tefillin is used for mitzvah. Lulav is used for mitzvah. Mitzvahs are holy. But how do you know whether something is tashmisha, mitzvah, tashmisha, kedusha? So the price goes on to give example. Elo hei tashmishei mitzvah. What are example tashmishei mitzvah? Sukkah lulav shofar tzitzis. Sukkah lulav shofar tzitzis. Those are used for mitzvah. Okay, it's true. Elo tashmishei kedusha. What are things used for kedusha? Tai duluskimei svarim tefillin mezuzos tikshal sefer Torah. Not tikshal tefillin. The bags that you put a sefer Torah in. The mantle for the sefer Torah. The ritzuas of tefillin perhaps. Now, you might be wondering, I understand. Tefillin is also a mitzvah. So why can't you call the Ritzulis of Tzvillin Tashmishei Mitzvah? And Lulav is a holy mitzvah. Asher Kiddushanu is a Savitz Ivanu. So why is Tzvillin Tashmishei Kiddusha and Lulav is Tashmishei Mitzvah? Right, Tashmishei Mitzvah, Nizrakin. Tashmishei Kiddusha, Nignazim. What needs Geniza and what can be thrown in the garbage? So what differentiates, say, Vatar Tzvillin Mezuzah, which have to go into Geniza, Tashmishei Kiddusha, versus Tzitzis Lulav, Shofar, Sukkah. What do we say for Torah Tefillin Mezuzah? What does the Ritzus of Tefillin have that a Shofar doesn't have? Hashem's name, and maybe more generally.
All the time, Tefillin is always Kaddish. But Lulav is only Kaddish.
Oh, good. So you're saying what drives it, and you're saying what the result is. If something's used for a mitzvah, but does not involve Shem Hashem, or even more generally, Ksav Shel Torah, so then it has kedusha as long as it's been used for a mitzvah, but once this mana mitzvah is done, the item does not have any permanent kedusha. I have to avoid bizayim, because it's on that chavez. Avoid bizayim, but I'm not going to throw a lulav in the kitchen garbage with all the chicken bones, but I can put it in the garbage in the office, the clean garbage, or put it in a bag and then put it in the kitchen garbage. It does not have to go into shemus,
the lulav, the sukkah, the shofar, the tzitzis. Why? Because it was used for a mitzvah, but only for a mitzvah. It wasn't connected to a permanent source of kedusha. It wasn't connected to Torah or Shem Hashem. While ritzuas of tefillin, or the atzei chaim of the sefer Torah, or something like that, was connected, not used for a mitzvah, but more than merely tashmish and mitzvah, it was connected to Torah, which gives it permanent kedusha. So even after the mitzvah is done, and the mezuzah is worn out and can no longer be used, the tefillah worn out and can no longer be used, but it has a permanent kedusha because it was connected to Torah. So that's the rule. Something that's connected to Torah, to Shem Hashem, tashmish and kedusha nignazim. Something that's not connected to Torah, Shem Hashem, but it was used for a mitzvah, merely tashmish and mitzvah. Bizman mitzvah, they have a temporary kedusha, but achar zman mitzvah, the kedusha is gone, you can throw them politely, respectfully, in the garbage. So with that in mind, what would you say about the She'iltos' question? I have leftover oil the morning of Zos Chanukah.
Well, the day, well, Chanukah isn't over, but you've lit in the last lights you needed, so I guess the mitzvah's over.
The mitzvah's over, right? And would you say it's Tashmisha Kedusha?
Throw it out!
Right? Shai says throw it out. And that's, l'chor, what you should have said. It's not Tashmisha Kedusha. It's not connected to Shem Hashem, not connected to Torah. As a matter of fact, it's not even the same as Sukkah, Shofar, Lulav, Tzitzis, which are mitzvahs d'oraisa. This is a Tashmish mitzvah midrabana. So all the more so should be nizrakin. Throw it out or use it for something else. Use it to light, but there's my name, they need the oil for light every night. So use it for a ner shel chol, or use it for salad dressing. Use it for your anigro. Going back to the case of oil. Use it, or throw it out. I don't know. Do whatever you want. Use it. What does the Shilta say? Oh, Salo Medura, and sorrowful Bithne Atsu. Shoo! Going back to the Rosh Bashem Shilta's, Hosir Yom Hashmini, you're left over on the 8th day. He does not say, reuse, recycle in salad dressing and on negron in your neros in your weakest, you know, mundane neros al chulin. Also, Madura is open to the asma. You have to make a separate fire and burn it. Because it was set aside for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, it's usher to use it for anything else. Hello, Dover. What? Ner Chanukah is more chamur than Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. Ma pesher advarim. We have the Gemara talks about it. The shilts is a gaonin. You can't argue with the Gemara. It's a praisa. It's clear, as Shai pointed out correctly. I mean, by the rules, this is a tashmish mitzvah. It's not connected to Sefer Torah. It's not connected to Torah. It's not connected to Shem Hashem. It's a tashmish mitzvah. The Zman mitzvah says temporary kedusha. Once the mitzvah is done, as Shai said correctly, the morning of the 8th day, mitzvah is done. If you want to wait until the next night, make a tasty, but do whatever you want with it. Again, you have to be respectful. But you could use it respectfully for another there. Stop. You want to have light in your house, or you want to have an anigro, right? Or you have a sore throat, and during the week you're going to gargle directly with oil. I'll pee brachas on about whatever it is. So that's a bizarre shiltus. What do you say?
I don't know a fully developed answer, but just like I have, like maybe it could have something to do with the fact that like the actual base of Hanukkah was all about oil lasting over, like.
Okay, that's interesting. Moser Shemesh Abener, our second question. Moser Shemesh Abener does not seem to be included in Tashmishei Mitzvah. Why? And we are going to continue this sugya Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.